Look, here we are, back in the studio, back in the Hockey Talk Show studio. It is nice to be here. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I got an amazing question from one of you guys, and that was, Ant, I hope you can address this on an upcoming show. What makes a good hockey front office person? And now that one of the best is with the Islanders, I think we're ready to address that. We're back in the studio. The hair might be a little crazier for sure, but the hockey talk is going to be just as good. We'll tackle all this and more on this episode of the Hockey Talk Show. How's everybody doing on this Friday before Memorial Day, May 25th? It is good to be here with you back in the Hockey Talk Show studios. Redskins for Life. What's up, John? How's it going? Welcome in, everybody, on Facebook and YouTube Live. And I want to say a special hello to the podcast audience because we have not talked to you guys in a little while. What's been going on very quickly here? Some studio issues we think we have under control now. And outside of that, we've been live streaming the games. So we've been watching the games in my living room, basically, and commenting along. So if you usually listen on the podcast or you usually watch on Facebook Live, just keep in mind, that's where we've been. So let me take this opportunity to encourage everybody to go on over and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. This way you don't miss a single solitary thing. Head on over to our YouTube channel. Again, we have the links at HockeyTalkShow.com. And you can sign up there because we only do the live reaction show games on our YouTube channel. And we are going to be doing them for essentially every single game during the Stanley Cup Final. Now, here's what I'm not going to talk about today, and that's the Stanley Cup Final. I mean, we can get into it a little bit, but I want to save Monday's show or maybe we'll do it Sunday. I haven't really figured it out, but we will do an episode regarding the Stanley Cup Final predictions, matchups, all things of that nature. So we will definitely get to that as well. Michael, welcome in. What do I think of the new jersey designs? What am I reading this right? What do you think of New Jersey's or New Jersey's design? I'm lost. I'm rusty. In case you can't tell, I am rusty. I am definitely rusty. Deirdre, I'm going to give the prediction of the cup in the specific episode that we're going to do based around the Stanley Cup Final. We'll save that for a whole separate time. We'll get into that when we get into that. I want to dedicate a specific show where we can go all through that and run through that quite quickly. And Louis Trust says, Greg, let me see here what you guys are saying here on the, we got our guy Lou Lamoriello. It's great for the Islander fans. Is Pittsburgh looking to trade Phil Kessel? Who am I rooting for the Stanley Cup? Can I be honest with you? We can talk about this. God damn it. I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, I really like both of these teams so much. I really, really do. I don't want to give away too much, but it feels to me like both these teams are like such a team of destiny, don't they? They feel like a team of destiny. All right, let's talk about Lou Lamoriello. Here's the thing I love about the New York Islanders. Even when they go out and get a great piece of the puzzle like Lou Lamoriello, they still find a way to gunk up the whole thing, and we don't know what the hell Garth Snow's role is with this organization. Now, I'm not going to get impatient with it because I think Lou's got to come in there and he's got to take his time. If Lou tells everybody in 2 weeks Garth is going to be the general manager of this team, I don't think it throws a wrench into the equation. Everything is still going to go through Lou Lamoriello. If in 2 weeks he says, look, we met, we talked, it just seems like it's going to be better to let Garth Snow go, I also would not be surprised. I would have liked them to have had that sort of figured out before they make all these announcements. Because I think it's weird that Lou has gone on this entire press tour and he has essentially said, well, you know, I don't know. I'm not ready to make that, you know, comment, blah, blah, blah. I would have liked them to have foreseen a little bit of what the future is going to be here and make that call right away. They didn't. It's fine. I just still like to point out the fact that this organization, as great as they are right now, and believe me, this is a great time for the Islanders. They still managed to screw some things up. Let's talk about what this means for the franchise. This is massive. Today in the local market here in New York, the press is talking all about how Brian Cashman, the general manager for the New York Yankees, and we all know how well they've done, essentially is praising the New York Islanders for pulling off such a move like this. And let's be honest, one of the game's best general managers just came to the New York Islanders. So obviously, you know, there's a lot to be excited about. I think this saves them with John Tavares. I think that's hugely important. I think it brings a lot of respect to a team who desperately needs to make some additions in the offseason. And there's not an easy route to that. There's not a ton of great free agent goaltenders. So a trade is going to have to be made. And there's not a whole slew of top, defensemen that are going to be available via free agency either. You know, there's a lot of work that's going to be need to get done, and it's going to have to be through some of the trade markets. So, do you want to come say hi to everybody? So, there's a lot of work to be done, and it has to be handled skillfully. The league, the other general managers respect Lou Lamoriello far greater than they respect Garth Snow. It's not like they have a disrespect for Snow. It's not like how the fans feel about Garth Snow. But certainly, there is definitely this feeling of you've stepped it up class-wise. So I think it's really, really, really good for the New York Islanders. I think that Lou, you know, judging by what he did with Freddie Anderson and the Maple Leafs, by the way, Lou had some of his great years of managing with the Toronto Maple Leafs. I know he put 3 Stanley Cups on the ice for the New Jersey Devils, but look at some of the moves he made for Toronto. Pretty damn good. I mean, the guy has not lost a step at 75. Are the Islanders going to rebuild? I'm going to try and address as many of these things as I can quickly here. Are the Islanders going to rebuild? No. I don't think Lou is coming here at 75 for a 5-year rebuild. So I think he's going to sign John Tavares. I think they've had this conversation already, although Lou said he doesn't want to confirm or deny that he's met with John. I think this is going to convince John to stay. I think whatever Lou pulls off at the deadline, which he likes to make some he's made some draft moves. I think that is going to put the nail in the coffin to keep John Tavares here. I also think that Evander Kane signing with San Jose for $7 million, 7 years, eliminates one of John Tavares' options. You look at where the San Jose Sharks are, they only have a little over $7 million on the cap now that they've given $7 million to Kane. They have to sign Joe Thornton. They have to sign Tomas Hertl, I believe, and they have to sign Joel Ward. And so they're each going to take a little bit of piece of that pie. Now, I think that Thornton shouldn't sign for more than $1 million. But even if he does, that takes you down to 6. Hertl and Ward are going to want to get paid maybe 3 to 5 million between the two of them, depending on what they're able to negotiate. John Tavares is not going to San Jose for $2 million. So San Jose has been taken off the table for Tavares. So that's one less option you have. And by the way, I thought San Jose was a really damn good option for him. You know, Thornton is going to take less money. I agree. I think he has to. I think he signed this year for $8 or $7 million. And if he wants to play one more year, I'm with you, man. He's going to have to take less money. I don't know if he's going to take league minimum. Judging by like Jerome McGinley and some of those guys, it seems like $1 million flat is the fee for, you know, an aging player to take a discount at. I don't think these guys want to sign for $750 million, you know. So that's that. So I think that takes one thing off the table. Rob, what's up? Welcome in. Try and get some of these comments as well. Is it Loam Darkin? Am I seeing that right? Tavares going to Pittsburgh. Kessel is gone. Totally disagree with that. Totally disagree with that. I don't think that Pittsburgh is afraid to make some bold moves. I don't know if getting rid of 81 is the answer. Everybody's been shouting about Phil Kessel. Phil Kessel was hurt. I'm tired of hearing about Phil Kessel. Get off Phil Kessel's back. And I'm not directing this at you. But everything I read is Phil Kessel's going and Phil Kessel this and Phil Kessel's that. The guy was hurt. What do you want from him? He was hurt. The Pittsburgh Penguins have the greatest 1-2-3 combination in the National Hockey League. Crosby, Malkin, and Kessel. And then you add Gensel in, but only when it comes to playoff time. I mean, they've got the most solid 1-2-3 punch. So I don't think Kessel goes anywhere. And I certainly don't think that they're going to move Kessel to bring in John Tavares. I just don't foresee it, guys. I don't. I'm sorry, but, you know, they've had to figure out two all-stars on that team between Malkin and Crosby. They're not bringing in a third. I just don't see it. They're not bringing in a third. And I disagree. Jim Rutherford's not an idiot. He's a fantastic general manager. The Pittsburgh Penguins have become the New York Yankees of the National Hockey League. Tavares is not going to Toronto, too. Let's take a couple of teams off the list. Toronto, Tavares to Toronto, not going to happen. Never, ever, 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 ever going to happen. John Tavares does not sign with the Toronto Maple Leafs. I am this close to making a Philadelphia Eagles fan guarantee on that. I am this close. Because it's just not going to happen. You don't have, again, they're not there just yet, but Marner, Nylander, and Matthews is here to where Pittsburgh, I mean, that when those guys fall in and they get it, they're going to be great. I mean, Toronto is literally going to let James Van Riemsdyk walk out the door. Why would they let him go to sign John Tavares? Like, no, you always keep the guy that you have. They're literally going to let Van Riemsdyk walk so that they can make Nylander, Marner, and Matthews work ice time-wise. So who are all these people saying Tavares is going to Toronto? I mean, it's crazy talk. It's crazy talk. It doesn't make any sense. And I'm not picking on anybody in the chat right now. I really am not. This is what's out there in the ether of the hockey world. And sometimes I feel so lost because I'm like, am I the only one looking at salary cap? Am I the only one looking at team chemistry? Am I the only one looking at ice time? Am I the only one who could look and evaluate at these things? I mean, it's the God's honest truth. The biggest problem for the Toronto Maple Leafs this year, well, outside of they needed a defenseman and they didn't get it. All right, so it's not the biggest problem. They had a couple of issues. But one of their big issues was putting Mitch Marner on the fourth line because they couldn't fit him anywhere else. And then what happened? He lit it up in the Boston series when he got some ice time. So, you know, I don't foresee these bold moves from people that are desperate to get clicks on their website and stuff like that, or, you know, literally have nothing else to talk about and try and create things out of thin air. I mean, I just don't see it, guys. I'm sorry. I wish I can tell you. But I just don't see it. I just can't even comprehend how people can sit there and go, yeah, you know, maybe they could do the, how? And Toronto's the worst. The Toronto market's the worst. They're the ones going, well, we got to get Tavares. We got to do it. No, guys, you have Mitch Marner, William Nylander, and excuse me, they're going to dominate for the next couple of years. Dominate. It amazes me because I wish I could see the stock market and businesses as good as I can see hockey teams, because then I'd be a millionaire. I'd be a millionaire. It amazes me how people cannot see the potential of the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Toronto Maple Leafs are in the Eastern Conference Finals within the next 3 years. And if they're not there within the next two or even next year, something terribly went wrong. Kyle Dubas screwed something up, or somebody was injured, or there was something. But But if this team is healthy and they add the defenseman that they need, I would prefer they keep JVR. I understand if they can't. But if they have JVR, they're in the Eastern Conference Finals within 3 years. They're the Washington Capitals. They're the Tampa Bay Lightning. They're in that echelon of team within next year. They're there next year. They're there. Next year, they're going to be top three in their division. I mean, it's not even close. It's not even close. Again, I wish I can see stock markets and businesses as good as I can see these things. The Toronto Maple Leafs are going to be there. And people, you know, talking about, oh, we should trade this one or we should trade that one. No, absolutely friggin' not. There's your three right there. You were able to get Crosby, Malkin, and Kessel without having to pull off any trades. You drafted it. Now, granted, Matthews, and they're not at the level of Crosby, but it's going to be the second best 1-2-3 punch in the league. In the league. If you're asking me who would I rather have, Kane, Pavelski, and Thornton, or those three, give me those three any day of the week, twice on Sunday. No question, no doubt in my mind. No question at all, no doubt in my mind. By the way, the Kane signing bothers me a little bit, whereas I love the fact that he found a fit and he made it work. You know, like it works, like finally he found a spot that works for him and they sort of like try to grab it and run with it. But at the same time, it terrifies me to take somebody with such a small sample size from trade deadline on and give them 7 years at $7 million. That just terrifies me. That's just not how I would like to, that's not how I would run an organization. I don't know if I could let Evander Kane walk away because you need 30 goal scorers and he's definitely one of them, but there are just so many issues there that worries me to hand out that big of a contract for that term. I just couldn't feel that good about it. I really couldn't feel that good about it. It's weird because I'm so torn. I'm like, yeah, well, you got to sign him. Like, here it is. Like I'm hoping this is it for Kane. We can stop the rumors that he's a bad locker room guy and that he's distracted and all these things. I hope this is it for him. But at the same time, like, I don't know if we're not 3 years from now talking about, oh, why isn't it working in San Jose now? You know what I mean? That would worry me as a general manager to hand that guy a 7-year deal. Tavares is staying in Long Island. He will get a boatload of cash. That's why Lou is there. Philadelphia, Sixers, Philly. Yep, you're right about that. Eddie, cool. I will check that out. What else do we have to talk about? David Quinn has been introduced as the new head coach of the New York Rangers. That's a solid move as all hell for the New York Ranger fans. You guys can get definitely excited about that one. This hiring, and I'm not saying it's a bad one because I thought he did a good job at Boston University, is just a pure sign that this is a copycat league. You know, I mean, what happens? Haxtell comes from college to the NHL, seems to have a bit of success, and it works. What happens? Dallas goes out and they hire a college coach. Now the New York Rangers need a coach, and they go out and get a coach. So good move for the Rangers. I have not a bad thing to say about David Quinn. I am hopeful for them. I actually love the move from this standpoint. If you're going to build a team with youth the way the New York Rangers are going to embark on right now, what better type of a coach to get than somebody like a college coach? You know, who's used to talking to young kids, who can, you know, develop them, you know, has short amount of time. Like you got a 4-year window for these college players. You know, you want to turn this thing around for the Rangers in 4 years. So it's a great move from that perspective and from that standpoint. Let's talk about coaches and the ones that are out there right now for the National Hockey League, because we touched upon what is Garth Snow's move, but also the Islanders and Lou Lamoriello has to consider, does he want to stay with Doug Weight as the head coach? I think Doug Weight gets to stay. I do. But at the same time, I wonder if Lou is not tempted to go and take a look and take a peek at what is out there, because Alain Vigneault is out there and Dave Tippett is out there. Like, you got some heavy hitters out there. And if Lou wants to get a quick turnaround, you know, I would strongly consider taking a look at those guys. If I'm Lou Lamoriello right now, on top of evaluating my franchise, I am going into one of them super secret meetings with Alain Vigneault and with Dave Tippett and just talking to them about the team and seeing if there's a fit there, seeing if there's a connection there, because nothing against Doug, but it took them an awful long time to make adjustments in this past season. An awful long time. And that is stuff that those other guys would not allow to happen. Rob, short leash on Weight. Weight has a leash the size of this pencil. I mean, literally, could you make it longer than that? I couldn't. I really couldn't. What's Lou going to do with the Islanders? So aside from decide what Garth Snow's future is going to be, and again, I think there's some interesting things that have to do with Toronto here. Kyle Dubas gets named general manager. We should do a dedicated show just to this one day. Honestly, I mean, we really should, because there's so much drama behind this about how we got to a place where Kyle Dubas became the general manager and Toronto wound up losing both Mark Hunter and Lou Lamoriello within a week. I mean, it's crazy. I don't see why AHL coaches don't get a call up. Yeah, a lot of them don't. A lot of them do, but a lot of them don't. I just don't think it's a feeder as much as it is for players. You know, coaches can literally come from anywhere. Europe, the A, college, former coaches. Coaching's a tough thing. It's tough to find a good coach. That's why I'd seriously be looking at Alain Vigneault if I were Lou Lamoriello. But anyway, so Lou comes over from Toronto now. Mark Hunter gets left go. Not only do you have the temptation of Alain Vigneault and Dave Tippett out there for your coach, but you have the temptation of bringing in a Mark Hunter to be your general manager. I mean, what's to stop? Like, Hunter leaves Toronto because he's not made GM. Lou goes to the Islanders as president of hockey operations, enjoys time with Mark Hunter, can give Mark Hunter a GM job. Question is does he get rid of Garth, which I don't think would be that big of a deal. I think the bigger issue for that is, does he put somebody in over his son who's been an assistant general manager for like 15 years? That's a little tough. That's a little strange, you know? So that's something to think about. But I think the possibility of Lou going out there and grabbing Mark Hunter to be the general manager is something that not a lot of people are talking about that I think is very, very possible, especially since Paul Fenton just got put in as general manager of the Minnesota Wild, which we'll spend some time talking about, maybe not on this show, but in the future. And Carolina has their general manager in place, too. So the GM jobs are starting to disappear quickly. And Mark Hunter, instead of sitting out a year, might say to himself, well, look, I can go and sit in there. I can go and join my old pal Lou and get a GM position or player head of player development thing or something. He's 75. And then maybe I can come in and step in there and figure it out when he goes and be the general manager of the New York Islanders. Enrique asks, does Tavares stay now on Facebook Live? Thanks for the question, Enrique. Yes, I think he does. I think he's going to go down to that 5-day time period. I think he's going to talk to some of the other teams that are out there. Like we said earlier, San Jose is now off the table. They're not going to be, they're not going to have enough money to, you know, be able to throw his way. Certainly he's going to gain a lot of interest. There'll be, I'm sure, 18 to 25 in, kick the tires, gauge where they're at, and make some decisions. As far as come July 1st, I wouldn't be surprised if John goes there as well and gets some hardcore offers from some other teams. I think that'll be down closer to around 5 to 7 teams. And then I think he'll wind up coming back to the Islanders, because look at where they are now to where they were just a couple of weeks ago. You have all the great things about the team. Anders Lee, Josh Bailey is his close friend, anonymity of living on Long Island, still the advantages of being right near a big city, Matthew Barzal, and now you have Lou Lamoriello, one of the greatest minds in the game, calling the shots. Their chances of re-signing him just increased to, last week I was around maybe 50%. He stays or goes. Now I would say that's got to be close to 80%. I mean, how do you walk away from Lou Lamoriello calling the shots? How do you walk away from a 3-time Stanley Cup champion who literally turned the Toronto Maple Leafs around faster than anybody thought they would be able to go? And let's not lie to each other. Yeah, it was the drafting of Austin Matthews, but let's not downplay the trade for Freddie Anderson, which was spectacular. I don't know how you walk away from something like that. I really don't. Especially when the kid was saying all along he always wanted to stay. It was always his intention to stay. He just wanted to make sure the team was committed to winning. So now this team is going to pay Garth Snow whatever the hell they're going to pay him to not make decisions. And they're paying Lou Lamoriello to be in there making decisions. And they're going to break ground on the new arena. I mean, there's so much positives here for the Islanders moving forward. Whatever Lou does at the draft will be the question. That will be the thing. Can Lou land a goaltender? Can he do something? I think that's his first order of business. Become accustomed to the front office. Figure out who you have there. Obviously, he's got his son there, so that's going to help him out tremendously. Figure out what you're doing with your coaching staff. Take a look and talk to your players. Obviously, I think he already met with John Tavares, even though he couldn't confirm or deny. And then start picking up the phone and talking to people and saying, what do you want for my, what can I get for that? Because you don't need to pick 11 and 12. Is it 11 and 12 or 10 and 12? It doesn't even matter. They got a couple of decent first round picks. Move those things out for a goaltender. Pro tip, you read my mind. So the other two things that he can drag from Toronto to the island, one is Matt Martin. Clearly, Lou likes Matt. Lou brought Matt in. That was a Lou move. And Mike Babcock couldn't put the guy into the lineup. Mike Babcock never wanted to put him there. So I think Matt Martin will come back to the island and they'll reunite that fourth line, which, let's face it, really lost its mojo since losing Matt Martin. I still have a great respect for Casey Cizikas, but he's not the offensive player that Garth Snow thinks he is. And I like Cal Clutterbuck more than anything. In fact, I actually was just rapping with him the other day at the golf tournament. If you missed our live show, ran into Cal the other day, just a quick hello, and respect him greatly, and put him back together with Matty Martin, greatest fourth line in the National Hockey League. I also think that there is a possibility that James Van Riemsdyk comes to the Islanders, and here's why. I know this may seem crazy at first, but he's going to go off in free agency. The Islanders are going to have a minimal amount of space. I think Lou garners that much respect to come in and sign, you know, Van Riemsdyk to a deal like that. Van Riemsdyk is from the area. He's from New Jersey. So I think that has that going for it. And I also think if the Islanders are going to step up and make a move for goaltending and defense, which they need to do, and they're going to sling those two first round picks around, I think the possibility of trading Joshua Hosang is a real reality. So I think if you move a Hosang out and you bring in your defenseman and you get your goaltending and you just want to shore up that scoring ability, if you can make it work number wise, and again, it all depends on what John winds up taking and you know, everybody else who's still got some contracts, I think JVR is a strong possibility for the Islanders. I really do. Now, here's a good tip coming from is it Loam Darkin? Am I saying that right? Lorne Darkin? I don't even know. I'm going to call you LD. Here's a good point for LD. JVR could go to Carolina to play with his brother. Absolutely. Absolutely. But if he wants to win, and he wants to win now, especially now with Lou, Islanders are going to be a possibility. If Neil walks from Vegas, Vegas is going to be a possibility for JVR. Montreal is going to be throwing money at all kinds of forwards, especially since they're looks like they're probably going to walk away from and or lose Max Pacioretty. So I think that, you know, JVR is going to have plenty of suitors. JVR is going to be in a position where he can seriously get overpaid. I mean, seriously, he can make, in any good year, probably he's around $7 million. I mean, really, Kane kind of sets the market for him. Seven and a half, eight, because he's a little bit better than Kane, I think, a little bit more consistent. I mean, he can go and get 9 or 10 from the right team if he really wants to. If he really wants to. I don't know if he does or not. Supreme, welcome in. We're going to do our Caps and Vegas Golden Knights predictions in the next show for sure. I want to wrap up with the question that is the title of our episode, because this was a question that I got on the Hockey Talk Show page. And again, I hope you guys are checking us out wherever we are, hockeytalkshow.com, on our podcast, Stitcher, TuneIn, iTunes, and where's the other one? TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, Spotify. And again, I hope you're rating and reviewing on Apple Podcasts. That's the important one. But I got this question, and again, and by the way, and I want everybody to know, I guess we got a lot of Facebook viewers and everything. It's so cool. If you watch on Facebook, I hope you subscribe to our channel on YouTube, because again, we're going to do the live reaction shows to the Stanley Cup final. We're going to watch the games and we're going to comment along. I'm not going to show the game. It's just going to be the camera on me. But you know, as you're sitting there watching, you can still talk with us. There'll be, you know, we've had some great chat rooms. We're going to do that on YouTube only. So if you're on Facebook, go on over and subscribe to our YouTube channel for sure. So let's go with this question, which was, what makes a good front office person? And I think it's a great, great question. And having some experience with front office people, I can honestly tell you there's a whole bunch of factors that goes into it. But at the end of the day, I think accountability is at the bottom of all of that. You know, you've got to have a person that is accountable. Garth Snow for the New York Islanders has not been accountable whatsoever. Mark Bergevin is losing his accountability by the day. By the day. I mean, it's just getting worse and worse. Pierre Dorion hasn't shown to be an accountable person yet. Lou Lamoriello, accountable. David Boyle, accountable. You know, you look at the general managers that have been, George McPhee, accountable. George McPhee is the best poker player in Vegas. I mean, he literally got the entire league to overpay him to protect players and built a Stanley Cup Finals team. I mean, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. So before we look at everything else, ability to evaluate talent, trade negotiating, contract negotiating, before we get to anything else, accountability. These things start from the top. There's a reason why the New York Yankees are the New York Yankees and the New York Mets are the New York Mets, because ownership is committed to winning. And when they don't win, people lose their jobs, and sometimes unfairly and sometimes far too soon. Just ask Joe Girardi. Joe Girardi went on one hell of a run last season and lost his job. Why? Because the Yankees win championships. And the Devils were the same exact way when Lou was there. Toronto, maybe not as much, because that was Brendan's thing. Even though Lou was the GM, he couldn't set up everything the way he wanted to, I don't think. He'll do that for the Islanders. What makes a great front office person is accountability. It's no different than what makes a great company. You all have jobs, right? Your boss, maybe a little disorganized, maybe a little flaky, maybe spends too much time not doing the things he should be doing. Maybe he doesn't work and just passes everything along to everybody else. Maybe he favors some people over others. How does that make you feel, right? They don't get the most out of you that way. Owners. Owner's flaky, owner takes too long to do things, right? Owner makes quick decisions. Owner listening to the wrong people inside the organization. Owner constantly firing people and not being able to evaluate talent and see who really works and who's been proving it year after year in their position. You know, I always love that. Well, can they do this or can they do that? Mark Hunter leaves the Toronto Maple Leafs. Oh, what's Toronto going to do? Go look at the scouts that Mark Hunter's put together. There might be another Mark Hunter in that group. Just because they haven't done that job well doesn't mean that they can't do it. Maybe they've been focusing on doing what their responsibilities were. So when you have bad owners, when you have bad presidents, general managers, same thing in business. Your GM, your president, your CEO is not there. He's not accountable. She doesn't work hard enough. She passes along responsibility. He's not organized. All those things matter. The general managers, the presidents that are successful are the ones that are accountable. They show up really early and they work really hard all day long and they go home really late. And when they do a bad job, they sit in front of the media, they look into the camera and they go, this is my fault. This is on me. It's too much fake and pretending in the world. You know, coaches go in, oh, it's my fault and blah, blah, blah. They don't expect to be fired. The ones that are accountable expect to be fired. John Tortorella, for whatever you can complain about, and believe me, there's plenty, there's a guy who's accountable. You want to know why John Tortorella keeps getting hired? Because he's accountable. He works. He doesn't coast. You can see people who coast. People all over the place. They're coasting like crazy. They're not doing it. I didn't know you wanted me to do that. They're passing off responsibility. Not guys like John Tortorella. Not guys like Lou Lamoriello. Not guys like David Poile. George McPhee. We can keep going down the list. Shiro's another one. He's a good general manager. He's got that pedigree. It's in his blood. You know, they make good decisions because they're accountable. They know that if they do something wrong, they can step out in front of everybody and say, I screwed this up. This is on me. Right? I messed up. But you know what winds up happening to these people? They don't screw up a lot because they put the work in. You know? I like all these people that go, oh, Vegas, they got so lucky, or this is my favorite thing in the world. More so than the crazy right and left wingers we got here in the States right now. This is my new favorite thing. Vegas, it's so fixed. Are you frigging kidding me? I don't think I've ever seen a general manager come in a shorter period of time and make more smarter moves than everybody else. And you have the dopes who will sit there and go, this is fixed. They had so many advantages. They had a favorable home schedule. Oh, the draft rules were changed for them. Oh, you know, everybody parties when they go to Vegas. You know, the Vegas flu. Are you for real? Are you kidding me? This guy not only got Pittsburgh to give them Marc-Andre Fleury, but he got a pick out of it. He not only took a 30-goal scorer, Marchessault from Florida Panthers, but he got Riley Smith thrown in as a kicker. All right. He got Nate Schmidt. I mean, go on down the William Karlsson. Now, again, did anybody think William Karlsson was going to score 41 goals? No, but you knew that the potential was there. Do you know? And I don't even know this number, but I know a little bit. Do you know how many mock drafts George McPhee and Kelly McCrinnan and the front office of Vegas did before the draft? You want to talk about insane behavior, crazy behavior? They would show up at the office at 8 o'clock in the morning. They would put everybody's availability down and they would do a draft. And you know what would happen at 11 a.m.? They would erase the whole thing and they would do it again. And what happens if we can get this guy instead? Or what happens if they get this guy? Or what happens if they say this? And on and on and on. Insane behavior. insane behavior. But that's the work. That's the work that comes into it. So you know what happens when you get the Columbus Blue Jackets on the phone and you say, hey, we're definitely going to take Josh Anderson if you leave him unprotected. So if you don't want us to take him, what would you give us? Knowing full well that they had two or three other players, i.e. Carlson, that they were going to take. You call Florida and you go, look, Marchessault, yeah, he scored 30 goals and he's really fast and the game is full of speed now in goal scoring. But I know you're really big on the statistics. So if you don't want us to take so-and-so, who would you get? We'll take Marchessault. You know, you got to pay. I get it. We'll take him. But who are you going to give us? Guys, George McPhee. I remember when I first heard that McPhee said to the league, we're going to talk to everybody and we're going to, and this is brilliant. When I heard this, I go, oh my God, this guy is brilliant. He literally called around to the league and he said, look, I don't want to be a disruptor. I know this is a problem for you. I know you spent 12 years building a team, 5 years, whatever it is. I don't want to take your golden boys away from you. I don't want to take your food. It's unfair. George is on the phone going, I know it is unfair. So let's do this. I won't take this guy, that guy, or this guy, but throw in a little something. Give me a pick or something. Or I'll take another player maybe. And he made it seem like he was doing a favor for the other general managers. And what did 30 other general managers do? Hook, line, and sinker. Like that. Hook, line, and sinker. This guy outplayed 30 general managers, and some asshole on Twitter with no, you know, picture on his thing is going to go, this is fixed. Are you fucking kidding me? You got to be kidding me. So if the question is, what makes a good front office person? It's accountability. It's putting in the work. It's trying harder and trying to be better than everybody else. And that's what George McPhee did this year. And that's why his team is in the Stanley Cup final. He got the right coach. He got the right players. And damn it, if he's got a great, bright future. I mean, Vegas is going to be good for years. I think personally that they're going to have a little bit of a hangover next season. I don't know if they're going to be as successful, but honestly, they're going to be great for years to come because they got all the players that they need. They got draft picks and they got youth coming through as well already. And it's somebody that puts in the work. Look, a good general manager knows every other organization just as good, if not better than his own. He knows that when it comes time to the, when it comes time, people go, well, what does a general manager do? You know what he does? He sits in his office and he studies and he looks around and he checks out, you know, depth charts and who does a team have in Europe and where are my prospects? Where are we at organizationally? And if I want to upgrade my goaltending, who can I go to get to? A good general manager, if you walk into a room with a good GM and you say, we got to get traded for a better goaltender, who should we contact? A good GM can rattle off five teams to you right then and there and say, we got to call this one, this one, this one, this one. Let's see where we can go. And he builds a list and he says, we're going to go for this guy. If we can't get this guy, then we'll try and get this guy. If we can't get this guy, then we get this guy. So accountability, and a general manager holds his coach accountable. His assistant coach is accountable. His players accountable. His trainers and everybody else. If you're slacking, if you're not pulling in the right direction, then you get fired. And that is the motivation that makes people work hard. And by the way, being in the National Hockey League, whether you're an equipment manager, a player, an assistant coach, or a trainer, that's the promised land. You want to be there. You know, people ask me, I was just talking to somebody, right? About a job. They call me up. They go, Ant, maybe we're thinking about bringing you in for this. What would you do in this, this, and that? Okay, I talk to people like that all the time. Other radio stations call me a lot from time to time, and they want to talk. And I never take the job. I've been where I've been for a long time. It's been working out really good. I'm very happy there. But anyway, I get called in for this job, and I'm sitting there, and it's an interview, and there's 10 people in there, and one person says to me, how do you keep people motivated? I go, if you need to motivate people in the radio industry, then they need to be fired. Plain and simple. They need to be fired. You know, and they look at me like, oh, by the way, they didn't offer me the job. But that's what I said, and I stand behind today. If you're in radio, if you're in my business, and you need to be motivated, there's the door. Because I have no use for you. Because you know who needs to be motivated? The guy that paves the streets. The person who works at McDonald's. The guy who does landscaping, right? These are not, maybe they are passionate jobs for some people, but for most people, they take them because of financial reasons. You know, that's who you need to motivate. People that are in jobs that they don't, you know, the stockbroker that doesn't really want to, who wants to trade stocks really? It's not the greatest job in the world. Those guys you got to motivate. If you're in the National Hockey League or broadcasting or whatever, there's certain things. You do not need to motivate whatsoever. You're here because this is the best. This is where it's done the best. And you either pull in the right direction or get out. There's the door. So that's what makes a good general manager. And the other part of accountability. So if you're going to hold people at this level and expect them to execute on a certain level, the other thing that you need to do is communicate your message to them. Where most people fall short, and I find this hilarious because all we do in radio is communicate. In radio, communication behind the scenes sucks. What's the number one thing that players say all the time? I just want to know where I stand with the coach. Bad coaches don't communicate. Bad front office people don't communicate. Communicate, communicate, communicate. Tell everybody everything every second of the day. Look, we need you to pick it up a little bit. Hey, the power play is not working. You know, John, why do you think the power play is not working? However you want to communicate it and deliver the, you know, it can't always be you're doing wrong, but it's got to be, look, our third line, you know, we're there. Here's where we are in goals against. What are we doing wrong? Let's figure it out. Let's order up some Chinese food. Let's get some takeout in here. Let's put some video on and let's go through and let's figure this out. Great front office general managers talk to their coach 75 times a day. You talk to the training staff. You talk to your ticket guys, right? All that stuff. You know what Milbury never did when I was with the Islanders? Looked at anybody that wasn't with hockey ops. Never did it. Good general managers, go and talk to the ticket people. Go and talk to the salespeople. How's it going? What are the people saying? Right? That's what they do. That's what they do. I, every day in my business, try not to do, I try and go around the building at least once a day. Talk to everybody. Talk to my production guy. How's it going? By the way, that spot you made, killer. I loved it. I'm not lying to him. I'm not blowing smoke. If I really enjoy it, I make it a point to go tell him. You know, go to the promotions department. Jesus, look at these giveaways. You guys are killing it. Nice job. Love it. Go to the salespeople. What's going on? What do you got cooking? What can I help with? That's what good leaders do across the board. That's what a good general manager does. You know, and he communicates and he holds people accountable. You can't hold people accountable if you don't tell them specifically what you need. You got a general manager down in the AHL? Tell him what you want. I want 40 wins. We got to make the playoffs. I want player A, B, and C to play 18 minutes a night. What can we get out of them when we're doing that? Talk to them. Set specific goals. Line it all up for them and see what they say. The what do you think approach is the best way to communicate and lead? Tom, I could not agree with you more. You know what I hate when people dictate to me, especially in my business, in radio? Here's the beautiful part about radio. usually, typically, the person who's best at it is doing the morning show, right? That's the position I find myself in. And usually, and this is just not specific to my place, this is across the board. Your best guy is in mornings, right? Whoever you want to say, Howard Stern, Imus, Elvis Duran, your best is in morning drive. Absolute best. Morning drive all the way around, right? Do you know who the morning drive host reports to? Somebody, a general manager, whatever it is. And 9 times out of 10, that's a person who got into management or sales because they couldn't do exactly what it is that the morning show person does. So I can't tell you myself personally in the past and how many other people, countless morning shows, are literally sitting there across the desk from somebody who couldn't hack it in the position that they're in. And they're going, you know what I think you should be doing? Oh, yeah. Go down the list and tell me the things you think I should be doing because you couldn't do them yourself. If you could execute and you knew which way this ship should be steered, you'd have been in my job, and you're not. So shut up. I mean, that's essentially what it comes down to. Every boss in radio could not do radio, because if they could, they would be on the radio. So that's what we have to deal with personally. So the what do you think approach tops. But here's the key, and this is what some people don't get. Don't just say it, do it. Don't just go in there going, what do you think, or how are you doing, or what do I, blah, blah, blah. Actually absorb and listen. Listen, because a lot of times they know better than you. A lot of times, right? You go to the trainer. What do you think? Blah, blah, blah. You don't sit there and go, oh, I think. No, you listen to the trainer. The trainer knows. The trainer knows. Why do you think coaches go and talk to their players? Because the players know. You can have the great Wayne Gretzky, right? Whoever else you want to name. Mike Babcock and his $8 million contract. All this stuff. You can sit there and teach X's and O's. You can do this. You can do that. You know what's the best form of thing? Hey, Austin, why can't we get what are you seeing? What are you seeing out there? You're out there. What are you seeing out there? Okay, here's what I'm seeing watching you out there. Let's figure it out. That's the best approach. That's the best approach. What do you think? Okay, let's sit here and figure out. Well, this is what you think. Well, I disagree. This is what I think. Now, what do you think? So, what makes a good front office person? Someone who holds people accountable and communicates extraordinarily well. By the way, you don't need to be a great evaluator of hockey talent, right? Your director of scouting should be, right? You don't. You don't need to know from Adam, who's a great hockey player, to be a good general manager. If there was a test I can give people to find out how great they are at accountability and communicating, whoever scored highest, I would hire to be my general manager tomorrow. Because that person's going to come in there and he's going to get, or she is going to get, the best people around them. That person is going to say, I don't know how to evaluate good skaters. So let me find out who is the best at it. And I don't know how to negotiate good contracts and keep it under the salary cap. So let me go and find out who's the best at that. And they're going to surround themselves with those people. And then they're going to sit them in the room and they're going to say, you're the best at what you do. If you don't do it, I'm going to fire you. Not directly, but you know, go out there and kill it. Tell me what you need. Go out there and kill it. And if we're not doing our job and if we're not pulling our weight, then we'll have to answer for it. But until then, you know, you go on and you run your organization. All right. A lot of fun being back in the studio with you guys. Just about an hour's worth of a show here. Again, look for our live reaction shows that will start Monday night, Stanley Cup Finals. I'm going to try and get in a video. It might actually be a pre-taped thing. We might not do a live one to do my prediction on the games and what we can see here. But I'll tell you again, and I'm excited that we got the studio back up and running, because once that cup goes over somebody's head, we are going into super drive for trade rumors, free agency, the draft. I mean, it's going to get insane here over the next couple of days. Five live a week. That's how we're going to be running strong over the next few weeks. So again, make sure you guys are subscribed on YouTube, on Facebook, and make sure you guys are telling people, spreading the word, sharing, let everybody know the Hockey Talk Show is here, making it happen for you guys. Enjoy the Memorial Day weekend. I hope you spend some time with some loved ones. You know, it's great to remember those that we lost and paid the ultimate sacrifice. But I always say the best way we can thank those people is by going to barbecues, by having a couple of brews, by inviting old friends over and just playing with kids and aunts and uncles and having fun. That's why they made the ultimate sacrifice, so this can be a free place. So go on out there and enjoy it. And I will see you guys back here real soon on the Hockey Talk Show and the Hockey